Turn to the last verses of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Father, I pray as we turn to your word now that you would bless our time. Lord, in the season of giving, we are thankful for all the gifts that you've given us. The gift of salvation. The gift of your Holy Spirit. All the resources. Your word. You've given us so much. And I pray that we would receive those gifts. And work to see that others get those gifts as well. Bless our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a special holiday season when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Christmas time. We're right in the middle of it. We also have a special day every year when we remember the death of Jesus. We call that Good Friday. And then we have a special holiday where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a holiday called Easter. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday. Three very important pieces to the life of Christ, would you agree, in three important holidays? The birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. But there's another part to the life of Jesus that we oftentimes overlook, and that is the ascension of Jesus. For most Christians, the ascension is sort of seen as an afterthought. It kind of gets lost in the excitement of all of the other pieces of the Lord's life, but let's understand this evening that the ascension of Jesus Christ is a monumental event in the life of Jesus, in the program and plan for the church, and the significance is great. So let's consider that tonight. Now, remember the timeline. Jesus is crucified on a Friday. He's buried on that same Friday. On that next Sunday morning, he rises from the dead. Over the next 40 days, Jesus, raised from the dead in his glorified body, reveals himself, shows himself to his disciples and various people. He doesn't stay with them consistently for 40 days. He sort of pops in and out. It's kind of sporadic, but he shows himself. And then on day 40, they're all together on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus ascends. 10 days after that, on the day of Pentecost, the church is born, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and church history is off and running. Okay. The ascension of Jesus Christ was a spectacular event. It was miraculous. It was dramatic. It was something that I will get the DVD for in heaven to see how that looked. It was a spectacular thing to have witnessed. Now look how Luke describes it here in verse 50. It says, "And he, Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So Jesus brought his disciples and many others. We believe that 120 disciples were with him at this moment. He takes them up on the Mount of Olives, very near the small village of Bethany. He gives them instructions. He gives them a commission. And then he raises his hands and blesses them. And as he's blessing them, he's parted from them. That's a Greek word that means that he becomes separated. So he's taken away from the crowd. And it says he's carried up into heaven. So he starts to float. He launches from planet Earth. Luke tells us in the book of Acts, they're watching him. And while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he's separated from the crowd. He begins to float upwards, and I think it was very slow at first, but I think as he gets higher, it goes faster and faster and faster. Then he's enveloped in a cloud, and I believe that's the Shekinah glory cloud of God, the mysterious glory cloud, enveloped up, up, up. He goes, the disciples are watching, and eventually he's gone. It was spectacular. It was miraculous. We know it was because the disciples, you can just picture they're just looking up, mouths open, so fixated on the heavenlies that they don't even notice two angels that then appear next to them. And these angels sort of have to snap them out of their trance. They say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So they're looking up. The angels say, "Hey, quit looking up. Snap out of it." What they had just seen was truly amazing. It was a sight that they would never forget. The ascension of Christ Jesus. Okay, what's the significance of it? Why is it so significant? Why should we consider it? Well, for several reasons. First of all, you can think of the ascension of Jesus Christ as a conclusion. It was the official, formal conclusion to the first advent of Jesus Christ. It is the official, formal conclusion to the bodily ministry of Jesus upon the earth at his first coming. The ministry of Jesus in bodily form upon the earth began Christmas morning. The ministry of Jesus upon the earth in bodily form concluded not at his death and not at his resurrection, but at the ascension. To put it another way, the ascension of Christ into heaven this way was the formal official indicator that the era of Christ's work on the earth in bodily form had concluded. And that's very important. And it's very important that it was dramatic like this. There's a finality to it. There's a formality to it. The story's over. Exclamation point. I mean, think about it. During those 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, as I said, he showed himself sporadically, didn't he? On and off to different folks and the disciples at different times. Well, imagine if he continued to appear like that to his disciples, but then the appearances became more and more infrequent, and eventually he just stops appearing. Just sort of phases out. Would that be a good thing? No, that would have left lots of questions. People would be thinking, why did he stop appearing? What happened to Jesus? 2,000 years later, you and I would be asking, what happened? Why did he stop appearing? If he had taken them out on the Mount of Olives, and instead of this dramatic ascension, just disappeared, that also would not have been good. It would have led to questions, because for the last 40 days, he's been appearing, disappearing, appearing, disappearing. This was a dramatic event. This was the exclamation point. The first advent is over. And everything that Jesus came to accomplish at his first coming was completed. It was finished. Every single prophecy of the Old Testament pertaining to what the Messiah would do at his first coming was completed. He did provide the way of salvation. He did defeat death. He did defeat the devil. All of that completed, wrapped up. The ascension shows that. And that's important. Okay, secondly, the ascension of Jesus Christ could also be seen as a coronation. When Jesus left planet Earth, where did he go? Well, Mark's gospel tells us, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. At the ascension, Jesus went home. He went back to heaven. And can you imagine how he was welcomed home? As the victorious king, the angels no doubt welcomed him. Can you imagine how the Father welcomed him? Can you imagine the fanfare, the celebration? You know, we honor our war heroes that come home, don't we? That sacrifice so much. I think of the vets who came home after World War II and the ticker tape parades. And that feeling of being home and welcomed victoriously. Jesus returned to the Father after the worst battle of all time. After seeing horrors like none of us have ever seen, after being wounded in battle, and after crushing the head of the serpent. Can you imagine how he felt to get home? How awesome that must have been. And furthermore, at the ascension, when Jesus arrived back home, he was crowned. Mark says that he sat down at the right hand of God. That is the position of greatest honor. He reached the exalted state. The poet says, they brought his chariot from above to bear him to his throne. They clapped their triumphant wings and cried, the glorious work is done. Paul describes it this way in Philippians chapter 2, after saying what Jesus did to humble himself in his first coming. He goes on to say, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Lord is in glory, seated at the right hand. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Revelation chapter 5 says, he's surrounded by angels who continuously give him praise. Our victorious King, completing the victory. Man, aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge? I mean, when we see what's going on politically, I'm so glad my king can't get impeached, right? I'm so glad there's no bickering over leadership. As far as I'm concerned, man, we have nothing to worry about as Christians, no matter where you live. Your king is exalted, and your king is on the throne, and you are victorious in your king. The ascension is coronation day. Okay, third, and this is very, very important. The ascension of Jesus Christ marks a transition. It marks a passing of the baton. Jesus had been doing the work of God. Now, he passes the baton to his people on the earth, the church. The work of God continues through his people upon the earth. The baton was passed to us when Jesus ascended. And that is very, very clear in all of these passages that speak of the ascension. Jesus gives final instructions. You know, you have the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore, Jesus said, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus gave that commission to his disciples, and then he launched. You are to go into all the world. You are to make disciples of all the nations. In the Acts account, Acts chapter 1, right before Jesus launches, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He launches, and we are left behind to be the witnesses, to be those who carry on the work. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 24, just before he launches. In verse 46, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.'" It's very clear. The work is to go on, and the work is to go on through his people. We are the hands of Jesus. We are the feet of Jesus. We are ambassadors. We are those who take that baton and run. But good news, we don't have to do it by ourselves, amen? I mean, that's a pretty tall task, going to all the world. Make disciples of everyone. But we don't have to do that by ourselves. And in fact, as Christians, you shouldn't try it by yourself. You might get hurt, right? You can't do it in your own strength. And the ascension of Jesus also opens the door for resources to be poured out upon his people, enabling them to do the work to a greater degree than Jesus did when he was here. Jesus ascended is not out of the picture. He's still helping us, right? Jesus said, you go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Jesus is still with us, just in a spiritual way, not a physical way. Now he works through his people without any geographical limitation upon the earth. When he was on the earth, he taught and he healed and he worked miracles in Judea, Jerusalem, Galilee, Samaria. Today, he teaches and heals and saves and works miracles through his people throughout the world, in China, in Africa, in South America, in Europe, all over the world. Jesus sits enthroned in heaven. He is the head of the church and with a bird's eye view, moves his people all around the globe, working through them. So, it opens up more access. Jesus is with us all, everywhere. Robert Glover, in the Bible Basis of Missions, writes, by Christ's ascension and the Holy Spirit's descent, Christ exchanged his bodily presence with his then disciples in Jerusalem for his spiritual omnipresence with his disciples everywhere. And the ascension makes that possible. We're also told in the New Testament that Jesus is our high priest. He's an intercessor, interceding for us, praying for us, leading us, moving us around. All made possible by his ascension. Remember the promise that Jesus made to his disciples before he ascended? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said, when I leave, a helper's coming. And he even says, it's better that I leave so that this helper will come. And who's that helper? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus made good on that promise after the ascension. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the early church in Jerusalem in spectacular fashion. Peter preaches and 3,000 people get saved and become members of the church by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, my brother and sister in Christ, that same empowerment is available to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit poured out upon us to empower us as witnesses, to use our lives. You have a bunch of Spirit-filled Christians all over the planet to do the work of the Lord. Listen to what Paul says about the ascension in Ephesians chapter 4. I've always found this very interesting. When he ascended on high, Jesus, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. The ascension of Christ is like a general returning home victorious, and he has a bunch of spoils, a bunch of gifts with him that he then distributes to his citizens and his kingdom. And the idea is this: Jesus is victorious in heaven, seated as the reigning King of Kings. He sends us his Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, every single one of us gets a supernatural spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts empowered by the Holy Spirit. Preaching, teaching, evangelism, prophecy, tongues, discernment of tongues, healings, administration, serving, encouragement, and the list goes on and on and on. Wisdom, word of knowledge. So that's the idea. Because of the ascension, his people can become born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and gifted to carry on the work. Jesus told his disciples, and we studied this a few weeks ago in the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus said, "Greater works you will do than I did." How's that possible? By the resources that were poured out at the ascension, by the program, the plan of God that was enacted when Jesus went home. So it's a transition as well. Okay. Fourth. The ascension of Jesus Christ is a preview of future glory. And I love this. Those disciples, they're standing there. They're looking up. And you remember what the angel said to them. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." The same Jesus that you just saw go up is the same Jesus who will one day come down. In other words, Jesus is coming again, and his second coming will look just like the ascension in reverse order. And it's a preview. Okay, Jesus went up bodily, personally. He will come back bodily, personally. The second coming of Christ won't be some force, some magnetic field that comes back. It will be the actual Jesus Christ. Jesus left visibly. All those disciples watched him go. He will return visibly. In fact, I believe the second coming of Christ will be the most watched event in all of human history. Revelation tells us, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Jesus will come again in spectacular fashion, just like he left. Jesus left in glory, he'll come back in glory. Jesus ascended in the cloud, he'll come back in the clouds. You can even argue that when Jesus comes again, and when he touches ground on planet Earth, he'll touch the very ground on the Mount of Olives from which he left. Because the book of Zechariah tells us, "In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move forward to the north and half of it toward the south. Jesus left from the Mount of Olives. When Jesus comes again, he will set foot on the Mount of Olives and there will be an earthquake. It'll be a dramatic thing. And of course, the second coming of Jesus Christ brings all of his power, all of his angels. He sets up his kingdom. Satan is done away with. And he ushers in a kingdom of peace. The ascension is a preview of that. It's like a coming attraction. I also believe that the ascension of Jesus Christ is a picture of what will one day happen to you and I as Christians. It's a preview. Jesus dies, he's raised from the dead, he has a glorified body, and he ascends to heaven. He went up, up, up. One day you and I will go up, 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 just like that. We are told in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So what Jesus did at his ascension will one day happen to you. Jesus is coming for his church. The Bible says that those who are dead in Christ will rise. They'll be given a glorified body and they'll go up. Those of us who are alive, remaining on the earth when Jesus comes, the rapture, will be glorified and will go up, up, up. So you can see the ascension literally is this beautiful picture of your future. The glorious future of the believer. So, for me, the ascension puts a bow. It ties up everything about the mission of Christ. It tells us that he completed everything that he was supposed to do at his first coming. Wrap that up, nothing left to do. It tells us that he successfully returned home and is now the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It tells us what we're experiencing right now, a transition, the church age, where now we carry on the work, but not by ourselves. By all of the resources that are made available to us by virtue of his ascension. And then it's a preview of what's coming. Everything can find meaning and significance in the ascension. I mean, I hope you see tonight this enormous plan of God that's been enacted. And my brother and sister in Christ, I hope you see tonight this role, this place that you have in the plan of God. I mean, think of everything that's been done. Think of the price that was paid for your salvation. His resurrection, his ascension. Years later, somebody shares with you the gospel. You receive it by faith. You get saved. You become born again. You're filled with his Spirit. You become his witness. And now you share. Now you spend your time getting the word out. And very soon, he's coming again. And we'll have our place with him in the heavenlies. Take seriously what God has called you to do. with your life here. If you are a Christian, take seriously. Your life here is not just about doing your career, having your family, raising your kids, making sure that you all have kind of a nice ride through life. Your responsibility as a Christian is to be a witness for him, to share the gospel with others, not in your own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And while you're in your career, while you're living out your life, you're that witness. Live to make him known. It may be that you're here tonight and you're not a part of that plan. I want you to have that opportunity. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Get born again. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I want you to just dim the lights. Father, right here at the end of this year, Lord, thank you for sort of bringing us full circle. We've been able to study your life, the Gospels. We've studied your birth, the great sacrifice, just in coming here. We've studied your life, the miracles that you did, the teachings that you gave. We've studied your death, your suffering and your crucifixion. We've seen your resurrection, Lord. You're alive, you defeated death. And now we see how you've ascended. You are the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your work carries on through your people, by your power, by your resources. And we understand that you will be coming again for us very soon. And you will set up your kingdom. And you will take away all of the pain, all of the hurt. Lord, all that you've done for us, Lord, and you give us as your people this little window of time, this pilgrimage here on this planet. And with our lives, Lord, we can serve you. And we can make you known. And then we don't have to do it in our own power. We can do it in your power. And I pray, Lord, that we would see tonight the importance of that. We'd make the most of that. Use us. Father, I want to pray for anyone here tonight who's never received you. Perhaps you're here tonight, and there's never been a moment in your life where you gave your life, where you yielded, where you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to have that opportunity to do that right now. that's you, pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to be my Savior. Thank you for going to the cross, dying in my place. Wash away my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to be a witness for you. Show me the gifts that you want me to use for you. Use my life. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.